son of a bitch.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of No Time to Bleed. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Micah.
Hey.
And Terrence.
What's up?
All right, guys, we're back. The first No Time to Bleed for 2020. Hopefully not the last. This movie, if you haven't looked at the title and you just hit play, is the reason why people should always be a little careful about shitting on James Cameron too much, because you got to remember that James Cameron can bring the crazy if he needs to.
I forgot he directed this.
I also forgot. I until I saw that name, I was like,
whoa.
Yes! We're doing True Lies. This is, of course, the 1994 American action comedy written, directed, and co-produced by James Cameron. Starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jamie Lee Curtis, Tom Arnold, Bill Paxton, Art Malik, and Tia Carrera. It follows the story of a spy named Harry Tasker, played by Arnold Schwarzenegger, who's been lying to his wife and child about his job. He says that he's a computer salesman. And it turns out
Arnold Schwarzenegger, the computer salesman. Sure.
This lie is ridiculous to start. But it turns out he's like this international badass.
A spy.
Yeah.
How long have you been a spy? 16 years.
What?
Okay.
The plot of the story is that it gets revealed to his wife that he is, in fact, a spy, and that he is trying to stop a terrorist group called the Crimson Jihad, led by Salam Abu Aziz, played by Art Malik. Okay. I'll start with my thoughts on this movie. Look, I love it. I think it is amazing. I think it is one of the best action comedies of all time. It is a perfect balance between action and comedy. It never gets too serious, even in moments where the terrorist is giving his huge manifesto of how he's going to rain down fire on American cities. His fucking camera runs out of batteries. Like, it just does, it does everything so well. This is the last thing I've seen Tom Arnold in that I did not find him just irritating.
For real?
Yeah, like, I listened to a podcast that he was on, I had to turn it off. I was like, yo, this guy is getting on my nerves. But I actually like Tom Arnold in this. He's ridiculous, and he's not really playing anyone but himself.
No, he's playing himself,
yeah. But I liked him in this. I think this is the part of Arnold Schwarzenegger's career that sort of, like, I'm not as big as I used to be, so I sort of look like a normal human being walking around. Part of his career I really enjoy. Because he was just like, he was just having fun. Like, he really was. And this was during that time where he was, like, just ruling the summer. Still, like, ruling.
Yeah, this was 94?
Yeah.
T2. When did Last Action Hero come out? This is 94, so T2 came out in 92.
I want to say, like, 96, maybe?
95, 96? No, Last Action Hero, 92.
93?
Yeah.
So that was before this came out. And then, like, Eraser was, like, 96.
Yeah, I mean...
He had a bunch of just... nonsense. Well, all those movies have been nonsense.
Especially in this period.
When the fuck did Jingle All the Way come out?
Oof, that's later 90s?
Movie.
I've never seen it.
Was that like 98?
The Turbo Man doll.
96.
We've got to get the Turbo Man doll for Anakin. Later.
But, I mean, that wasn't that with,
like,
Sinbad?
That movie was just about him
Sinbad
trying to get
as a
doll
mailman.
Son and accosting everyone in a mall.
Yeah.
And then committing crime.
And then he turned into Turbo Man at the end of it and flew away.
I did not know that.
To blow up a fucking post office or some shit. Like, yo, that movie's fucking crazy.
I've never seen that. There you go. Maybe that'll be our Christmas time, No Time to Bleed movie. Yeah, look, I think this movie is great. I think it's fun. Jamie Lee Curtis seems to be having a good time as well.
Jamie Lee Curtis has always had a mom face.
Yeah, she has.
Like, she's always had a mom face.
Doesn't have a mom. She doesn't have a mom
weird body. Thank you. It's very weird to see her mom face like superimposed on that non-mom body. Because I'm like, yo, what?
Yeah, I was 14 when this movie came out. Yo, I was like, I want to have sex with Jamie Lee Curtis. Jesus Christ, she looked great. She looked great. I don't know how old she was in this movie. I'll have to find out. But
is this the poop yogurt woman? Like, yeah. What
is yeah, going now on she here? Looks like, now she just looks like what Rachel Maddow is going to look like at 61 years old. Yo, she does. Look at this picture. That's not Rachel Maddow in like 20 years. Yeah. Yo.
With the short hair.
Yeah, like yeah. Activia. Like, yeah. Yeah, she's 61 now. But yeah, I had a blast with this movie. Absolutely.
I love this movie. I this is one of the more underrated like spy action movies.
Definitely.
And I don't know if it's because I'm a parent now, but I see it. This is 100% a dad fantasy movie.
Yes, it is. It is.
Yep. Imagine yourself
saving your kid in a Harrier jet.
Imagine yourself as some salesman, some you know,
an IT guy,
selling copiers or whatever, right? Yep. But in reality, in your head canon, you're a super secret spy who works for the Omega Department or whatever.
The Omega Sector, the last line of defense.
Yeah. Right. Right. You are able to one-shot people in the dead of night, right? And with they're having machine guns, you have a service weapon, a 9mm pistol, right? You're a badass super spy, right? You go home, you love your wife, you know that deep down, like you can still bang your wife, but you know, she looks like she sells like Activia, right? And you got a daughter that, you know, you love, but you don't really like.
Yeah, she gets on your goddamn nerves.
She gets on your nerves. You got your friend who's, yeah, he's a good friend, but he's ugly and fat. So you know that meanwhile you're super buff and shit. You Arnold Schwarzenegger looks like what you see when you look in the mirror. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. And in actuality, you're just this fucking super spy and you're fighting terrorists and you bring your wife along because you actually love your wife, right? And then you save your daughter with a Harrier jet and shoot a terrorist who's hiding on a missile shooting at other terrorists. Yeah. Yo, this is a 100% little dick dad fantasy, yo.
Yeah, the funny thing is, if at the end of the movie it cut to black and Bob Newhart woke up as his dream, it would make all the sense in the world. Because it's insane. The entire movie's nuts.
It's wild,
you
man.
Just dated yourself.
Did you know what I meant?
I know what you
meant. There you go.
Sean's dating Yeltsin.
Fuck y'all. Like,
but look, it's fun, man. Yeah. It's fun. And as far as I like spy movies, this movie doesn't get the... There's not a lot of spying in it. There's a lot of action in it.
A 250-pound nigga on a horse running around? Yeah, not a lot of spying going
but,
on.
But, like, you bring that up, this movie is very inventive. This movie was doing armed men on horseback 25 years before John Wick did it. This movie is really good, man. It's super fun. It's very light. It's 2 hours and 20 minutes or something like that.
I saw the runtime. I'm like, oh my God.
But you know what? Once I started, I didn't feel it.
Yeah.
I didn't feel it once I started it. And yeah, this movie's great, man. This movie's 8 slimy Bill Paxtons out of 5, man. Like, I've really enjoyed this movie.
Well, I didn't give my rating. Yeah, God, there's so many things. I guess I would give it, I would give it 13, no, turn around, do it again, out of 5. It's that good. It's fucking
insane.
It's super
fun, man.
Do you find that this movie is making fun of the genre?
No, I think it's having fun. I think this movie knows exactly what it is. It knows how to balance. It's dad fantasy. It's James Cameron's spy fantasy. That's what I think this is. And, you know, it's I think this movie knows exactly what it's trying to be. I don't think it's like subverting the genre or anything. I think everyone in here knows exactly what they're doing, and they're doing it to a T.
Yeah, because I feel like that opening sequence is like kind of making fun of Bond. Like the whole like the sort of
it was definitely a James Bond opening.
Yeah, I mean he literally gets out of the water in scuba gear to take it off to have a tuxedo on.
A completely dry tuxedo on.
Yeah.
Shut up.
You know what's even more ridiculous? Fucking Roger Moore has done it worse. Like he's done that same bit, but he had like a crocodile head on top of him. Because Sean Connery had a bird on him once, fucking Roger Moore had a crocodile head that he took off and got out of the water, and it like, all right, fuck Roger Moore, yo. Nice guy, and a fuck Roger Moore's James Bond, yo.
That's why I used to think when I was a kid that the James Bond movies were comedies,
right?
Because they were
right.
Silly. They were super silly. All right, Terrence, your thoughts.
Look, again, I told you guys it'd been like 20 years since I've seen this movie. It's nuts. This movie's out of control, yo, for no fucking reason. But it's fun. I can't really take Arnold Schwarzenegger serious.
And that's part of the fun, yeah. That's part of the fun. And in the beginning,
he's too big.
He's walking around talking French to people in his thick ass Austrian accent.
Maybe he does. He probably does multiple. Does know multiple languages.
I'm sure he does.
It's just us that don't know fucking multiple languages. Yeah, we're dumb, stupid. Like when I turned it on, I'm like, oh, this is what we're doing. I remember now.
Yeah.
And then there's like horse niggas on horseback jumping from building to building. Yo, this nigga jumped from one building. First of all, that's not how physics works.
No, he did a Fast and the Furious like just keep going. Like no,
they have one scene when he's jumping off. Clearly, he's not gonna make it to the next scene, to the next building. But then the next scene is him just landing in the pool. I'm like, cool, sure, whatever. No, it's fun. It's a fun movie. I'm not a dad, but this looks like it was written by a 13-year-old.
Yeah, that's about right. That's about right.
Yeah, I think James Cameron has wanted to do this since he was like 10. And they gave him $100 million. He was like, I'm just going to make the craziest fucking spy film. Because I swear I did not know he did this.
Yep.
Completely forgot.
I forgot he had done it. Yep.
But now that I see it, it feels like a James Cameron movie.
Oh, absolutely
movie.
It does. Yeah. I mean, look, there are, minus the very obvious rig that Harrier jet is on at the end, where it's like a shitty ride at Universal Studios. It's just like it doesn't move off its pivot. It's pretty well shot for the time. I don't know. I feel like he nailed it. Like you said, everybody knew what the movie was and they just went for it and just had a good time. And I kind of miss movies like this because I feel like if this came out now, people would be like, well, why does the bad guy have to be a terrorist from the Middle East and all that stuff? But I'm like, they never give you long enough to hate that guy for it to be offensive to me. Like, he's ridiculous.
Yeah,
like,
he's ridiculous. Silly, yo.
Like, he's a silly villain. But oh, Art Malik has that fucking rule up though.
Tom Arnold annoyed the fuck out of me.
Yeah, I mean, he's supposed to.
Yeah, he was very annoying. Like, I don't like his shtick. I never have.
I don't know that it's a shtick. I think you don't like his personality, which is also
he married Roseanne, so whatever.
Yeah,
even he regrets that.
he actually does.
Yeah, he's like, what the fuck was
I? That's who he's talking about in the movie. He's talking about, oh, look, you know, I'm on my third wife or something, whatever.
Yep.
Yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis does have a pretty decent body.
Decent. All right.
She's.
This is a Tiana Taylor situation here.
She's flat backed.
Oh, she is no.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She needs to be in that Sir Mix-a-Lot video.
Yes. Oh, no. Butts are not us, apparently. All right, so the movie opens up with a rather ridiculous Arnold Schwarzenegger under the ice. I guess they're in like Austria or Switzerland, somewhere cold. He's got like an underwater acetylene torch, and he is breaking into this party. And again, he's underwater in a scuba gear or whatever. He breaks through the ice, comes up, and he's undetected, and he pops off his scuba gear to show that he has a full tuxedo on.
Where is this gate that he's breaking into? It's underwater, but what is that connected to? Because I was like, what the fuck is that?
I guess that's where a boat would go. Like, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess you don't want anybody putting anything underneath your boat or whatever.
Yeah. Or you know, you just, you know, keep your property. I mean, if you have a fence, I guess you need a boat fence. I don't know. I'm poor. I don't know anything about boat fencing. So he starts to communicate with his team back in the van, which is Tom Arnold and an Arab dude. And sorry, I don't know his name. And neither do you, nor do you care. I guess it's the guy from Perfect Strangers. I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah, it's going to be that type of episode. So he eventually gets ready to go into this party. But before he goes into the party, he decides to put on a dash of cologne that he carried with him on his trip. Sure. Whatever. He enters the party. He's, you know, schmoozing with all these international people. Because, you know, it's a fancy party, so there's, like, Arabs and American soldiers and just, like, random... It's exactly what you would think in a 13-year-old's mind of, like, a fancy international party. Like, just drawing a bunch of random people. He meets Tia Carrera, who plays this woman...
Remember when that was a thing?
Yeah. What happened to her?
I don't know. I just remember, like, in the 90s... Like,
yeah, she was hot
Tia Carrera was a thing because she had that, like, exotic, quote-unquote, look where nobody kind of knew what she was, but everybody wanted to have sex with her.
Yeah. She is Chinese, Filipino, and Spanish, but she was born in Honolulu.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm trying to see. Where the fuck did she go? Oh, she's still doing stuff. A lot of direct-to-video in that career. Oof.
Take what you
can. Yikes. God bless. Yeah, she started hitting direct-to-video soon after True Lies, 1995.
Jeez.
Yeah. But she was in, like, she was in Call the Conqueror? Oof, that wasn't good.
Wayne's World 2. I don't remember that.
Wow, she was in a Lilo and Stitch sequel that went direct to video. That's unfortunate. Yeah, so she kind of just fell off, which is unfortunate. So he meets her. She is an art dealer named Juno Skinner, who he dances the tango with, because who doesn't want to put their body next to 1994 Tia Carrera?
Arnold Schwarzenegger's biggest challenge for the movie was
not getting a boner.
Was not doing all the physical stunts, but dancing the tango. He had to take dancing lessons to realistically perform the dance. He rehearsed the scene for about 6 months as he wanted to make sure he was good at the tango.
Right.
As good at the tango as Al Pacino was in Scent of a Woman.
Nigga, this is not Scent of a Woman.
Right, yo. Like,
this is like,
and they cut minutes around you, yo. Like, they do a tight shot of your face as you do this.
Yeah, it's...
He practiced
for six months to do that.
For a minute and 30 seconds.
Well, he has it at the end as well. And that's a wide shot. You get to see him do it. But again, I feel like it's really not that important. Because there's a lot of action sequences. He is clearly not the guy doing them.
There's one particular action scene where it is Jamie Lee Curtis doing it.
Oh, really? Oh, that's interesting.
Okay. We'll get to it.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So he's talking to his guys over the earpiece. Because he basically breaks into the head guy of this party and plugs in a device to download all this information and steal it. They do steal it, and then he's like, I'm just going to walk out the front door, and he does. Arnold Schwarzenegger running is hilarious, because he's too fucking big. You're not supposed to be that agile, and spoiler alert, he isn't.
Why does he need to run when he has fucking auto-aim on?
Cloud.
He's taking a pistol, and he's one-shotting people while running down a snowy hill
turning around, sliding down, shooting them. They're wearing white camo and shining lights in his face. Bam, 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 bam. And he's just one shot.
Okay.
He's been a spy for 16 years.
Yeah, what do you think? He's been selling computers that whole time? Knock it off. Now, the other part is he's running from two Doberman pinchers.
Burst out laughing.
One of which is probably dating that guy who insulted Tiana Taylor. So I'm watching this with my wife, and she's never seen this movie, right? I was like, look, you're actually probably going to enjoy this. Like, it's a pretty fun movie. And she did. But she's watching. She's like, oh, he's going to outrun those two dogs? And I was like, right. Nope. And she just turned around like, clink! Just smashed their heads together, which was hilarious. As a dog owner, that's really fucking funny.
Dogs got up like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah, I like that they were like, he didn't kill the dogs. He was just right. Like, nope. He was like, yeah, I'm done with this. He's like, you know how many dogs I've done that to in my 16 years of spying? None, because that's stupid and would never work. Dog would latch onto your arm and be done.
One-shotting everyone.
Yeah.
This is nonsense. Jesus Christ. Oh, my God.
Yo, he just hit arguably 7 people with 3 bullets. Tom Arnold and Balky, they're on their way there to pick him up to rendezvous. And they eventually grab him, and they all jet back to D.C. That is not Arnold Schwarzenegger in that action sequence. Wow.
Where did the niggas with the skis come from?
Because that's a very James Bond moment.
Yeah. Like, they all of a sudden just came out on skis. I'm like, were they just sitting there waiting?
I mean, you know, it's like bicycle cops, you know? They're just patrolling around.
Cross-country skiing, just in case shit goes down. Like, but why are they wearing white camo? For what? Like, they're security guards. It's like a little army. They get back to Harry Tasker, his house, and he gets like a fake receipt for the hotel and all this other stuff, so that his lies seem more authentic. And right before he leaves, his partner's like, hey, you're forgetting something? And he gives him his wedding ring. And so he takes that and he puts it back on. He's like, oh, thanks, man. You know, like, couldn't do it without you. Cut to the next day. He, you know, brings his daughter a snow globe.
You want to hear something sad? The daughter's played by Elijah Dushku, right?
Yeah.
In January 2018, Elijah Dushku revealed that when she was a 12-year-old child actress making this movie, she was sexually molested by the film's 36-year-old stunt coordinator, Joel Kramer.
Oh, man.
Dushku detailed how Kramer, quote, groomed her for several months to gain her friendship and her parents' trust, contrived to spend an evening alone with her, and molested her. Dushku also said that after an adult friend confronted him on set about the abuse, she was injured during a stunt. She broke her ribs on the Harrier scene. Dushku alleges that this was, quote, no small coincidence. To be clear, over the course of those months rehearsing and filming True Lies, it was Joel Kramer who was responsible for my safety on the film that at the time broke new ground for action films. On a daily basis, he rigged wires and harnesses on my 12-year-old body. My life was literally in his hands. He hung me in the open air from a tower crane atop an office tower 25 stories high. Whereas he was supposed to be my protector, he was my abuser. After her statement, Dushku's co-stars Schwarzenegger, Curtis, Arnold, and James Cameron all tweeted their respect and admiration of her bravery.
Wow.
So, yeah. That sucks, man.
Jesus Christ. This is supposed to be a fun show, Micah. Thanks.
You said you wanted to hear something sad, so.
Wait, no, I didn't.
Yes, you did. I said, you want to hear something sad? She's like, sure.
Yeah. Don't listen to me. I'm an idiot.
Here's something fun. The studio didn't like James Cameron either. Tom Arnold either. But Tom Arnold made such a good impression on James Cameron that James Cameron threatened to walk
For Tom Arnold? I'd be like, get anyone else.
I'm like, whatever.
I'm sure we can find a portly white man to play this role. It's fine.
The fuck?
That's weird. I mean, look, I think he super works in the movie, though. Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, I couldn't see anyone else in this role. I could see literally anyone else in this role.
Yeah. And yeah. It's this movie that Tom Arnold and Arnold Schwarzenegger became friends. So, there you go.
Yeah. That's weird. Elijah Dushku didn't appreciate her dad's snow globe. But that's okay because she went through hell. So, I'm going to give her a break. You ungrateful little girl. So, we see Jamie Lee Curtis as she's getting ready for work with her mom face. We have no idea how hot that body is under that that terrible erection destroying robe she's wearing. I'm just being a dick. Harry's like telling her all about his trip, and he's like, yeah, we sold a lot of the T-800s or whatever. And she's like, oh, yeah, that's cool. I can just feel my vagina just drying up. And Tom Arnold shows up and he's like, hey, buddy. And he looks like a fucking jackass because for some reason he's wearing suspenders. And he just looks like a... Wait, is he wearing suspenders and a belt? All right, that's... It's not how it works, guys. You're not supposed to do both. Dana, Elijah Dushku's character, her boyfriend, who I personally feel is a little too old...
Yeah, I was going to say, she's like 13 years old.
Why this nigga's like 17.
First of all, he's on a motorcycle, so he's old enough to drive a motorcycle at least.
Yeah.
And you're not even a teenager yet.
No.
What is going on?
Nope. Not acceptable.
No.
I'd push that little Kawasaki bike right the fuck over. So while they're there, Gibbs shows him these glasses that he has connected to a camera that's in a pack of cigarettes, and Arnold puts on the sunglasses and he can actually see Dana stealing money out of his jacket, and he's like, yo, I'm getting ripped off, and he runs out to say something to Dana, but she just drives off with her clearly molester boyfriend, and they head off to school.
She's like money out of Tom Arnold's jacket.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
She's ripping you off.
Oh, ripping you off. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, well, then I wouldn't care. I'd be like, good, fuck him. Who cares? So then we see Arnold and Gibbs head into work at the Omega Foundation or whatever. And it turns out that they are, they show them going into their sort of spy jobs. And their boss, Nick Fury, played by Charlton Heston.
This nigga looks so fucking cartoonish.
he does. Yo, I was like, when they were like rolling the credits again, I was like, Charlton Heston is in this movie? I don't remember that. And then when he turned around, I was like, oh, right. Oh, shit. He could have played Nick Fury. Look, you're not going to convince me that's not where they were going.
All right, who else is supposed to run a secret, super secret, shady spy operation?
Yeah, like, come on,
fucking Nick Fury.
I mean, the look isn't bad. It's reasonable for its insanity.
I mean, yeah, you know, he looks like older David Hasselhoff in this scene.
It's like over my dead body. So the three guys are trying to basically brief him on their operation and wherever they were in the beginning, Switzerland or whatever. And they find out that there's all these transactions of money to finance terrorist activities. So Charlton Heston is like, look, get out there and get me some more information and try to stop these guys. They find out that Tia Carrera's character Juno... might be somehow connected, so they go see her, and we find out that she actually works for this guy, who one of her workers actually comes in and just smacks the shit out of her, which I thought was wildly disrespectful. This is the moment she went direct to DVD. And he's like, he's clearly the mastermind of this whole thing. And she's being paid a lot of money. His name is Salam Abu Aziz, which could not be more of a possible terrorist name if I've ever heard one.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't even try to come up with something different. Played expertly by Art Malik. He's great. Yeah. He was awesome on his role in Homeland. He's just really good. It's cool to see that guy. I feel like he should have been a bigger actor.
Was he a terrorist in Homeland?
No, he was just a part of the Iranian government. So according to some people, yeah. That's because that's how that works nowadays. So we find out like Harry is supposed to come home, but he's going to be late. He's supposed to be home for his birthday, but he has to kind of run this op. What ends up happening for some fucking crazy reason, and I'll just fast forward to Harry standing in a bathroom with his like super shades on. He sees two of these terrorists come rolling up in the bathroom to try to kill him, and he gets into a Mission Impossible style fight in this bathroom. Look, you shouldn't trust anybody who's got sunglasses on at night. Like, that's no, that is the mark of a crazy person.
I mean, what if they're blind?
Well, you still shouldn't trust them because you don't know that. Yeah, Arnold proceeds to beat the brakes off of Arab Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's fighting another guy who's got a machine gun. Yeah, it's just like they kept finding Arab versions of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like, we need someone big enough like to actually take him on.
Yeah.
And then you get Art Malik's character finally gets into the bathroom with a machine gun and just starts fucking spraying the place. The action sequence here is like pretty good. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, the action in this movie is, you know, you got to remember that this came out in 1994. So I'm trying to remember back 1994. I don't remember like this chase scene, right? That comes up following this, right? I don't remember fights in a bathroom, in a public restroom.
Yeah, like Bad this, Boys. Right? Came out in 94.
So Speed 94, The Professional, okay. Street Fighter. Time Cop.
Have we done that, by the way?
What?
Street Fighter?
No. I don't remember. I don't think so.
Yeah, we gotta rectify that. That I mean, it don't even have to be like this show. It could be like We Watch Trash. I'm fine.
Oh, no. Yeah. It's a definite We Watch right here. Come on. Yeah. Oh, no, that's a good movie. No, it isn't. It's really bad. But, you know, at the same time, I love it because it's silly. But, yeah, I mean, Speed would probably be the closest, like, big-time action movie of that year, yeah.
Yeah, there were no bathroom fights. They were too busy innovating in their own way.
No, we did Street Fighter.
Oh, we did.
Yeah, episode 21.
Okay.
Wow. That was August of 2016.
Yeah, Jesus.
Yeah, that's why I don't remember. So this scene is pretty crazy. Eventually he gets away from Art Malik, who gets 100% hit by a car and then he's, you know, he just shakes it off. Arnold chases him through the streets, which is pretty funny. Eventually, Abu Aziz gets a motorcycle. He knocks someone off a motorcycle and then just picks it up. Have you ever tried to pick a motorcycle up? They're really heavy, which is why people don't like to fall down on them. It generally takes two people, right? Like, even that bike that's not that big, that Kawasaki bike, he wouldn't have just made it. That bike would have at least been 600 pounds. Like, those things are fucking heavy as shit.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess he was like, oh, the strength of 9 terrorists. And he was like, whoop. And he just picked the shit up, drove off. Arnold Schwarzenegger was like, yeah, cool, I get that. So I'm going to throw a man off a horse, because that's always a healthy thing to do. And he just commandeers a horse and just chases this dude through the same park they filmed Die Hard with a Vengeance in, I assume. and it's literally... horsepower versus horsepower.
Off a horse.
Yes, a cop.
He's like, you know, I'm a federal agent in the middle of an investigation, and I need, look, no, back up.
Yeah.
Let him be black.
Yeah, he would have had that horse fucking stampede over your ass. Get out of here.
Yeah, he'd have fucking found a way to throw a noose around your ass and fucking quartered your ass.
Nope, come with me. So, yeah, you've got Arnold on one horsepower and...
I mean, when you put it that way, like, yeah,
it is.
That's 100% right. Yeah. Like, there's no way Arnold Schwarzenegger should have been able to catch this dude.
Yeah, he's on one, and he's got, I assume, it's at least 100.
He's on a motorcycle.
Yeah, he would have been gone. He would have never caught him. And so, yeah, Abu Aziz, it's true, just drives his bike into a hotel where Arnold follows suit. This is the most, like, this is definitely not Arnold Schwarzenegger in this action sequence movie of all time. And, yeah, they're just riding a horse and driving a motorcycle through a fucking fancy hotel. And for some reason, that's allowed. It's just insane. This is, like, a perfectly insane shot. And then eventually they both end up on separate elevators where they just ride them up, which I find weird because I'm pretty sure a horse with a man on it with multiple people in an elevator reaches the limit by which an elevator can weigh. Right?
No, a horse.
Yo, horses. What? How much does a horse weigh?
What, like 6-7? Like 600 pounds?
Yeah. Nah, nigga, 840 to 2,200 pounds. Yo, horses are huge.
To 20? Yeah. Well, most elevators are 3,000 pound limit, so you good.
No, but Arnold Schwarzenegger's got to be a smooth 200.
Like 22 plus 200 is 24.
And then wasn't there like, there's two other people there.
Oh, in the elevator?
Yeah, there were two other people in that elevator.
I don't know, man. You're reaching, you're riding the line.
You're close to that limit, depending on how heavy this horse actually is.
Yo, if that was a Clydesdale, it's over, buddy. Like, it's over.
The horse is like 900 pounds.
You good. Yeah, I'd have got out. He'd have gotten on that horse. I'd have been like Chris Rock. I'd have dove off.
Yeah, first of all, you get on a horse. You get on a fucking elevator with a horse. I'm not standing. Like, fuck? I don't know what the fuck is going on here, but I don't like any of it.
Like, nah, it's cool. I'm a federal agent.
Just fine.
That's great. I'll be downstairs.
All right, now the question is, how much does a motorcycle weigh?
Right, like a couple hundred pounds. I mean, that motorcycle is probably 500 pounds.
Yo, at least. I got to imagine weight limits for elevators. It can't be 3,000 pounds, yo. Yeah. It can't. For a passenger elevator? Why would you do that?
I don't know. I'm trying to think how much my elevator is. It's got to be like 3,000. Because some people be like, when you move, you got to move shit into an elevator.
No, you're right. You're right. 2,500 pounds for a standard elevator in a low-rise building.
A Harley Davidson, which are the heaviest of motorcycles, are about 500 pounds, whereas cruisers stay below 250 and sports bikes are between 230 and 330. So I was wrong about that. They're much lighter. But by the way, 330 pounds, that dude don't look like he bench. Like, he is going to lift no 300-pound bike up. Like, is no problem. And also, you're reaching
still
over.
Heavy.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, look at James Cameron doing his due diligence.
He was like, no. It's fine. They can have a horse on me.
We're gonna have three black guys from Baltimore 25 years later evaluating this. We gotta make sure that the weight limits are okay.
Yo, what if he was like, knowing James Cameron, he did do the research. He was like, let's put a horse on there and see if it goes. Yeah. He was like, because I'll be in the Marianas Trench for 7 years thinking about this. And here's what's weird. Aziz Ansari decides to
I mean, I was waiting for it.
You knew it was coming. He just drives his motorcycle off the edge of this building. What? Yeah. Like, the reason why this scene doesn't make any sense is not just because he jumps the bike. Because that is very Fast and the Furious-esque. Like, that should not make any sense. But when they show Arnold think about jumping the building, it's clear it is a massive distance, but like the main street between these two buildings.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, he's not. Like, yeah, a horse got, is he's not going to make that.
He's got moon gravity on.
Yeah. And the horse, Arnold tries with the horse, and the horse is like, nigga, no.
It's funny because he cut to the horse's eyes. I was like, fuck you. No.
I did like that because my wife was watching it and she's like, is he gonna jump with a horse? I was like, nope.
Horse ain't stupid.
Right? Horse was like, yo, we are really high up.
Yeah, I'm not dumb. Yeah, you know, he was like, not buying it. But I did think that was funny because he has a conversation with the horse. He's like, yo, what kind of cop are you? You know, like, well, I thought we had it. The horse is like, nah, we didn't have nothing.
Right, the cop was the cop. The horse was smiling. And shit. Like,
no, nigga. He's like, I might be a horse. I'm no fool. Knock it off.
How did he think he was going to make that jump?
Because the other guy did it.
On a motorcycle.
Yeah.
That motorcycle that go has how many horsepower?
Right.
And like you said, it's 1 horsepower. No.
They're just going to turn it to the TriStar Pictures logo.
That's fucking funny. Yeah, you are not going to make it, dude. So Abu Aziz gets away. He's like, all right, I'm out. So then Harry gets home. And he realizes, like, they had a whole birthday celebration for him that he missed. And he disappoints his wife. Cut to the next day. The team is back there, and they're trying to figure out who this guy is. And they figure out that he is Abu Aziz, known terrorist. And so they're like, all right, this is our target. Arnold and Gibbs, they go to Helen's office. He's like, hey, I gotta take Helen out for lunch. I gotta smooth things over from yesterday. I really fucked up. As he's getting ready to walk up to Helen's cubicle, he overhears her having a conversation with a guy named Simon, who her coworker, Octavia Spencer, says is... We're assholes. He finds out that she's talking to her mystery guy, and he's like, the fuck is this? And so he thinks that she rightfully is having an affair. Again, this is very much a dad fantasy, right? Like, like your wife is cheating on you. Like, what the fuck? Like, you start freaking out. He goes back. He tells his partner. He's like, oh, my God. He's like, welcome to the club, man. Like, yeah, you're getting a divorce, too. All right, buddy. Like, we're in it together. And he's like, no, fuck that. No, we're not.
That particular scene is a direct reference to Roseanne.
Of course.
This is a direct reference to Tom Arnold's divorce from Roseanne that was happening at the time. She was reported to have taken his ice cube trays when she left him as well.
I mean, his line was pretty good. Like, what kind of psycho bitch
takes... What kind of sick bitch takes the ice cube trays out the freezer? Hold on. Arnold told the story to James Cameron on the sets while saying, what kind of a sick bitch takes ice cube trays out of a freezer? Cameron thought the line was hilarious, so he put it in the film.
I mean, in fairness, it's a pretty funny line, and it also goes to show you that Roseanne has always been crazy. So Arnold does the thing that you should do when you suspect that your spouse is cheating. When you're having dinner, you're like, huh, came by your office today. You weren't there. Weird. Where were you?
Trying to catch him in a lie.
Yeah, like, yeah. And she's like, oh, I had to go down to the other's office. And he's like, oh, it must have been a pretty exciting day for you. Interesting. Yeah. I was just selling T-800s all day, but, you know, whatever. And I like this whole sequence of the movie because they take a moment out of the film to give you like 20 minutes of his jealousy and him like trying to figure out who Simon is. And it's just like moments of Arnold Schwarzenegger with just a clenched jaw ready to just punch anyone he deals with, which is just hilarious. So Helen, of course, tells this elaborate lie.
The whole we're in the second act, right?
Yeah.
The whole second act of this movie, I 100% would do.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I had the means, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look at this scene with Arnold, you know, like the camera zooms in and he's just like, motherfucker. Like, he looks so mad. I love it. I love that the entire second act is all about
this.
Yeah, it's all about how pissed he is. And you know, rightfully so. I'd be pissed too. Fuck that. Like, you out here giving it up with your mom face, your school mom clothing. Like, look at me, I'm shredded. God damn it. Sorry I wasn't there for my birthday. You get it.
There'll be another one next year.
Yeah. You can talk to me on the sixth day. that's a terrible movie, by the way. It was really bad. I think that felt like the beginning of his cinematic downfall. I was like, this isn't... Or End of Days was also pretty bad. Or was fighting the devil.
No, I kind of liked End of Days.
Nigga, that movie was not good.
I got like
Sixth Day is bad.
Sixth Day is sci-fi, whereas End of Days was like... Him, yeah, like fighting him fighting the devil.
Yeah, it was Jeremy Bryan.
Yeah.
It was fucking dumb. Yeah. I saw it in theaters because I'm fucking dumb.
He played a big ass atheist. Yeah.
I don't believe in anything.
There's no God.
So he starts using the resources of the Omega Corporation or whatever to track Helen. And he's like reading the transcript of her, having her phones tapped, and he's just like crumbling up the paper as the camera's zooming in, his jaws all clenched. It's just hilarious. He gets home, like the psycho that he is, and he's like, "Hey, honey, how's it going?" And she's on a bike, wearing just large sweatpants and. Boy, has the world changed. Well, do women even work out in sweat clothes anymore? Because according to Instagram, they don't.
They walk out the house in yoga pants. And I need people to understand that, especially you house frowls in Northern Virginia, I need you to understand that yoga pants are not a right. They are a privilege.
Yeah, that is a fact.
You need to earn the right to walk around in public wearing those things.
Yeah, you got to work at that.
You can't just. No, stop it. Stop it.
I believe the song is Fat Bottom Girls Make the World Go Round. Right. I think they hear Flat Bottom Girls.
Right.
Like, no.
If I can take a metal rod, right, and I can make this sound with that rod between your legs. You don't need to be wearing yoga pants. You got a thigh gap. That's not a gap. It's just like a cavern. Just like a straight line. Like if you look like an H, like you don't need to wear.
That's a shame.
You don't need to wear them.
Yeah, I don't need that.
Stop it.
Yeah, knock it off. Agreed. So Harry steals Helen's purse, throws it outside to Gibbs, and Gibbs puts like a tracker in it and everything else. He's like, "All right, here you go. You can give this back to her, and then we can track her on our GPS in 1994." I'm like, "Yo, that technology did not exist in cars, but."
I mean,
that's
fine. But those are Omega sector cars. Yeah.
You know what? You got it. They track Helen to Chinatown, and they are not inconspicuous at all. Like they're just like jerking their cars around behind her. But Helen is a terrible spy, so she's like, "All right, and everything's cool." She goes in to meet with Simon, and Simon is just a fucking loser. Played by Bill Paxton, not to be confused with Simon, played by Bill Pullman. But that would not be as good. Bill Paxton just plays a grimy piece of shit who is just being a fake spy so that he can fuck housefrouse in Northern Virginia and in DC. I mean, it's a pretty good beat if you can get it, but. Yeah, it turns out this guy's just a fucking liar. And so he's like, he's like, I need you to help me with this covert operation and all this other stuff. And he actually admits to working on being the guy chasing down Abu Aziz in the hotel on the horseback. And Harry and Gibbs are listening. They're like, "Yo, that was us." Like, no, this guy's lying. Like, what the fuck? So they figured out that, that this guy is bullshit. And then they follow him back and they find out that this guy is a used car salesman, which is about the perfect job for him. And he's driving around in this like fancy classic Corvette that he's selling and that he does not own. But he's just out for pussy.
This dude's like, The vet makes him wet.
That is a disgusting line, dude. It's a disgusting line. Now, if I had a Corvette, I would probably use it. But I don't. My dad did, so he probably would have used it. Because gross.
Did he have a mustache and no beard?
No, because my dad was not a pedophile. This is fucking gross. Yeah, that guy looks like he smells like garlic. Like, he just, nah, you look like you stink. Get out of here.
Garlic and bologna. Like, two things that just don't need to go together, but you smell like it.
That's what white people smell like when they sweat.
Yeah.
Well, that and dogs, right?
Isn't
that
it? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And don't get offended.
Yeah, black people smell like sub shops.
It's all right. Yeah, it is what it weird. Is, yes. Yes. We all have our distinct things.
Right.
Because I've definitely been out, like, working in the yard, and I'm like, woo! Like, damn, I should get a sub. I'm kind of hungry.
Right,
now.
I'm coming. Right, right. Where can I get a steak?
Yo, if you still eating steakums and you're over the age of 13, you're a wild nigga. Yo. Seriously, yo, come on.
Wrong steak, goddammit.
You got one in your apartment right now, don't you?
Nah, I don't.
Yeah, I know, because you're over 13.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Again, if you, like, the only time, I think the only time I ever had steakum, to be honest with you, is when I was a kid. And, like, I was being babysat by someone. They're like, hey, yo, we can make steakums. I was like, yo, that's awesome.
Hey, I just went to Murray's. I got a bunch of steakums. You want some?
Yo, is Murray still around?
They got the Murray's brand.
They got the Murray's brand, right?
They can get, like, a pack of hot wings for, like, $20.
Nigga, Murray's was the shit. Wow, yo.
For you young people, Murray's was
not the hair product.
No, no, this was a place where you would go to buy meat. It was the black people's version of Omaha Steaks.
Yo, it fucking was. Yo, do they still exist?
I don't know if the stores do, but they still. Hey, have
look,
the
product. There was a black woman on there just now.
Nigga, Murray's.com. And what, look, three categories: French toast burgers, sandwich steaks. I'm just saying. There it is. All beef sandwich steaks. Get you the Murray's Steakums, you know?
I used to make them things and just swore up and down I knew how to cook.
Yo, it's just heating up meat, you know? They were just lines of meat. You just
that's
like
what the fuck steak it? That's what
no, I know it's just shredded steak. Steak is. Yeah, that's all it is.
Ain't no difference.
But look, no, I'm just saying it ain't cooking. It's heat. Not cooking.
They got the buffalo style wow wings, fully cooked chicken wings, just heat and serve.
Oh shit! Yeah. Yo, I need Murray's to come back.
You can get Murray's.
How?
ShopRite.
Do they sell Murray's?
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing. I'm not going to buy that. I was kidding.
They sell Murray's at Wise.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I am uppity. I have not seen any of this shit out. And I look.
You're bougie ass.
Like, I'm okay to be too bougie to buy Murray's, guys. I'm sorry. I'm actually okay with that. I'm sorry. Don't act like you bought Murray's and I don't know.
What are you, crazy?
Wow. That's crazy. When is the last time you bought anything Murray's brand, Terrence? Because you're the most niggerish person here.
Murray's brand? Shit.
Where's the closest stop shop and save?
Yo, I don't think I've ever walked into a stop shop and saved. And I'm dead ass serious.
I have. They definitely look. Food King.
Food Depot.
Food Depot is a West Side shop. Or
yep.
Nigga, I know it is.
No, I'm not going to a place with Depot in the name to get food. No.
Yeah.
No. I go to a Depot to buy lumber. I don't go to buy food.
Like, it's food. Yeah.
It is what
it's
it
food,
is.
But well, I don't think it's been a year since I bought it, but eating it, a couple months.
Really? Yeah. Well, what was it? The steakums or?
The chicken wings.
The chicken wings.
Yeah, buffalo wings.
Wow.
They were fine.
We got to go to Trader Joe's tonight. Trader Joe's has pretty good wings.
See, Trader Joe's has Murray's. Yo, that would be fucking hilarious.
It probably does.
The Whole Foods. Yeah.
A Murray's chicken. Look, wing. If they do, I will be the first person to videotape and post it. Be like, yo, what the fuck is this doing? It's organic. No, it is not. Those chicken wings, they come from no organic chicken, nothing. Look,
chicken wing sections, water, salt, modified food, starch, vinegar, flavoring, maltodextrin. Sodium phosphate.
Here we go.
Sugar, paprika, cellulose, gum. I don't know what the fuck. Oleoresin.
Yeah, nigga, this is not
powder.
Yeah, that's not organic anything.
Yeah,
and that's fine. It's fucking Murray's.
I'm mad. God damn it.
Yeah, I'm mad at them. Nah, I'm fucking around. But look, I was raised on Murray's. I'm not too good to eat a Murray's chicken wing. Like, knock it off. Actually, I really don't give a fuck where your wings are from, as long as they're hot.
Right. Fucking chicken wings.
Yeah, I will fuck organic.
It's hard to fuck up buffalo wings.
Yeah.
But sometimes I've had some fucked up buffalo wings.
I have to say Trader Joe's has pretty good buffalo wings. They're not bad. They're not bad. And it's like a pack of like 18 or some shit like that. And my wife is like, oh, did you make like, you know, you got any more of those? I was like, no, I ate them all. Because it's only a pack of 18 wings, and I'm at home alone.
Yeah. I'll knock out 20 wings.
Yeah, no 20 wings.
Yo, that's a joke. That's a joke. Like, oh, this is cute. Like, who's is this a Sharon size? Fuck out of here. You better buy 2 bags.
I'd be mad when I'm like, what are your servings of wings? 8.
Nigga, what?
I'm right. I can't stand that, yo. I can't stand it. And then want to charge an arm and a leg like for $10. 8 wings. Come on, man.
Yeah, like, oh, no, it's a deal. That's not a deal.
No, it isn't.
8 wings for $16, yo.
I can go to Stop Shop and Save, and they make me want to dance right down the aisle. Get out of here.
For three, for less than a 50-cent a wing.
Remember that stupid-ass jingle?
Yes. Sadly, I do.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. That's a deep cut for people who, like, I don't know. I feel like if you're not on the East Coast, you might not even...
East Coast? If you're not from East Baltimore, man, I know what
that's... No, I'm just saying, like, Murray's. Like, I don't know that Murray's really branched out that far past the East Coast.
So Stop, Shop, and Save don't exist no more?
I would not be surprised. Yeah, maybe it turned into Save a Lot.
Yeah.
Or Save a Lot of Shoppers, yeah.
Went on West Cold Spring.
There you go. Of course it is. where else would it be? So when this is a pretty funny scene when Harry and Gibbs are looking and finding out that this guy is a used car salesman. There's a scene of Arnold Schwarzenegger looking through binoculars, and he gets so mad that he breaks out one of the glass things because he's holding it so hard, which is pretty funny. I thought that was great. Yeah, he's pretty pissed. Obviously, his wife is cheating, but he's also doubly pissed because she's cheating with a used car salesman. Like, he ain't got no dick. And so he gets the used car salesman, Simon, to drive him around. And he's like, look, man, it's a cool car. It's, you know, a high-tech machine. But what are we talking about? Pussy, right? Like, ugh, please stop talking to me. He's like, yeah, the vet gets some wet, bro. And the whole time, Arnold Schwarzenegger is just like, I'm gonna kill this nigga. I'm gonna kill this nigga right in this car right now. And he even has a dream sequence where he just backhands him and like breaks his jaw, which is I can respect. That car is dope though. That car is really, really, really nice.
Corvette.
Yeah, old Corvette's dope.
Doesn't look safe.
No, it was built like 57. Of course, it's not
like
safe.
A strong gust of wind is just gonna disintegrate.
I don't
that
like
car.
I'm pretty sure that's the car James Dean died in. So Simon reveals that he's like trying to fuck this legal secretary right now, how he's kind of working on her, and he's like, "Yeah, I bet she's you get it red hot, man," and so yeah, her thighs are steaming. And then Harry asks if he's bagged her yet, and he's like, he's about to say something, but then they get back to the dealership. So, and again, Arnold is just, yeah, when he's telling her, he's like, yeah, she's got an incredible hot body. The camera just slowly, he's like, pans in on Arnold's face. He's like, yeah, I'm gonna kill this
fucking
dude.
Iron Side starts playing in the background and shit.
Yeah, basically. And that's where he has the idea of like fucking punching this guy in the face, I guess killing him, but he doesn't, which is pretty great. And so he's like, all right, yeah, I'm going to, let me think about buying this car, you know, I'll be back. And the guy's like, all right, man, I'm going to hold it just for you. He then gets a transcript from Gibbs, and Gibbs is like, yeah, no, everything is cool, no big deal. And Harry literally pulls over the car and, like, jacks up against the car, and he's like, yo, where's page 10? I'm going to fuck you up. And it's like, oh, yeah, she's meeting with Gibbs that night, and they end up in his secret spy lair, which was his fucking double wide.
Yeah, his safe house.
Yeah. Look, if this would have worked, it's a pretty good plan on Simon's part. I don't know how you just like, hey, I took you back to my secret spy lair. I fucked you, and then I'm just not going to call you again?
Like
how's this going to work out?
Like, was he going to take her to Paris and then leave her there?
He had no tickets to Paris. They were fake.
I don't know.
I do like that he was like, oh, we're leaving. You gotta get out of sight. Put your head down in my lap till we leave the city. I was like, yo.
When they called the helicopter in and the helicopter came to confirm, yep, that she's her head's in his lap. Yahoo! That was James Cameron.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
That's funny. And Arnold was like, not fucking pleased about this.
Yo, this motherfucker. This again, this is dad fantasy, right? Like, if this is me and I see my wife, her head is fucking pushed down to fucking Scott Donahue's lap. I'm ready to fucking kill this guy, yo.
What's the car company where it has like Ray Lewis and all those guys?
Eastern Motors.
Motors. The owner of your credit.
Yeah, the owner of Eastern Motors.
All right. Hey, come on, yo.
And he's like, oh, yeah, I need you to go on this op with me to Paris. She's like, yeah, but I'm married. And then she agrees to do it because, like, deep down, Helen is a grimy bitch. Like, what the fuck? Got Arnold at home? Like, you're just gonna leave your daughter and your husband so that you can gallivant and have terrible sex with Simon and his porn mustache? But yeah, she's like, she's nervous. I'm like, you about to go to Paris with this dude. Didn't you clearly want to fuck this guy?
Right.
Like, yeah, it was just kind of weird. So Arnold just decides, like, you know what? Fuck it. We go on full gear. They got the flag jackets on, balaclavas, the fucking machine guns, the whole thing. Which, again, yeah, this is what I would do if I had these resources.
100%.
Yeah, I'm ripping the back of your double wide right off.
But why are you ripping his shit off?
Because fuck him.
Yeah. Does he know you're married?
Don't matter.
Yeah, don't matter.
Yeah.
Don't matter.
Yeah, don't fucking matter.
Matter of fact, he does know that she's married.
Yeah, he does. He does.
Yeah, he knows because when he was vetting them in the vet that makes him wet, he was like, yeah, that's what I do. You know, these house frials, man, these house chicks, man. Like, dude, you just got to give them a thrill. I got this one. I mean, she looks like a school mom, but I bet her body is banging underneath that. And I'm like, yo, all right, nah, yo.
Yeah.
It's time to go.
And she, you know, she works in a legal firm. That's interesting. This is your fantasy.
Yeah, this is my fantasy.
Of beating a man half to death.
Of beating Scott Donahue to death. I fucking hated that guy, yo. I hated him. Scott Donahue was a local car guy, a local car dealership owner, and he had a dealership on Bel Air Road. B-E-L-A-I-R. That's how you spell the name of the road. Would always pronounce it Blair Road. And it really pissed me off.
Yeah, but he was...
I'm right here on Blair Road!
Yeah, but, like, the problem is, if he said Bel Air, white people wouldn't have known how to find it.
Yeah, because that's how white people pronounced Bel Air Road. Blair Road.
And yeah. Old Scott
Donahue. The proper way to pronounce it.
Yeah, that's right.
That Dundalk accent.
Scott Donahue from Mayor? What?
Yeah, he wanted to be mayor at one point.
Of what?
Of Baltimore. He wanted to be mayor of this town at one point.
That's
Scott Donahue. I hated that guy, yo. There's one commercial that I remember that I just hated. It was this bigger black woman sitting behind a Kia. And she was like, it was clearly this car was too small for her. And she's like, that's offensive. I like this car, whatever. And he comes up behind her like the devil. Like, I can get you in this car. I'm like, all right, yo, all right. This guy's the fucking devil. I want him to die.
Jesus Christ.
I didn't like that guy, man. I really didn't like that
kidding.
Guy.
So at one point, they rip off the back end of the double wide. And they grab Helen out of there, and they grab Simon. Helen turns around, knees gives in the dick. He goes down. Harry runs to grab her. Meanwhile, she doesn't know who is who. Runs to grab her. She bites Harry's arm. Another guy comes and hits her in the head with a gun.
With the butt of his gun.
And then Harry fucking... punches the guy, which is great. She, of course, didn't see any of that. And he puts her into the van, and they steal her away. And this is all so they could basically get her in front of this like screen. And they were telling her that she was with Simon the Jackal,
Carlos.
Yeah, Carlos the Jackal, right? Which, if you've ever seen the movie The Jackal, you would know that movie is not good. It's really boring.
Is that Bruce Willis movie?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Carlos the Jackal was a real person, but that movie was fucking terrible.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. And the only cool thing was he blew a guy's hand off with like a 50 caliber gun, which was pretty dope. But then like nothing happened. It was boring. And so then she explains, after being questioned by Gibbs and Harry through a one-way glass with their voices disguised, that how she met Simon. And so they question her and ask if she still love her husband and
she was everything. Like, why are you asking me all these intimate details?
She's like, we'll ask you anything we want to ask you. And she was like, you right. You got it. And then she flips out at one point, and she just takes a stool and just smashes the glass a bunch of times because she wasn't fucking around. Then they said, like, look, you're going to work for us. We'll call you when the time is right. She then gets called a couple days later to show up at a hotel and pretend to be a hooker. She'll have to be a prostitute named Michelle. She, right before going into the room to do this, she has to plant a listening device by the phone. She's wearing just the worst dress. Just the goddamn worst. I don't like sheer anything. I hate it. Like, look, I'm not telling women what to do, but don't wear those. That's what I'm telling you. Don't wear it.
Well, actually.
No, I hate sheer. Sheer is awful. It doesn't look good. So, according to me, which, you know, means nothing. But she decides that she's going to rip all the sheer ruffle off of her clothes because she doesn't want to look like a fucking moron. And apparently Jamie Lee Curtis got some titties.
These were her drawers. Like, they didn't supply her with these. These were her drawers. That's why she was able to kind of push those things together, I guess.
I mean,
this...
God bless!
This entire scene was... she had a lot of input with this particular scene.
I bet she did. It's like, yo, don't let me handle this.
At one point, Jamie Lee Curtis falls. That is intentional.
Oh, okay.
But Arnold Schwarzenegger did not know it was intentional.
Oh, really?
So that is his genuine reaction when he's like, like when she falls.
Yeah.
And he drops the recorder. That's because of that. Yeah. Like, oh shit.
And then he drops it. He drops it, a little later because he's like, he's so entered. He's like, God damn.
He drops it because all the blood rushes from his hand to his dick.
Look, Jamie Lee Curtis this movie came out in 94. I was 14. So like 25 years ago. Yeah, she was like 35, 36.
Yeah.
you look great.
Yep.
She looks great. Like,
not complaining.
No, she looks wonderful. I mean, she still has a school mom face. But, I mean, you know, dolled up, she looks good, you know, but, yeah, her body, I mean, there's no back there.
It's all back. That's the problem.
Yeah, okay. But as far as boobs and stomach, not bad. And legs. She's in nice legs. But I just remember at 14-year-old, I was like, the woman from Halloween? Nope. Okay. I wasn't expecting that. I just love when he's like, I need you to dance. And she was just like.
She's the fucking Ellen. Or the Elaine.
Yeah, the little kicks.
Yeah, I was like, what? He's like, no, 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 make your hands your lover's hands. I was like, I don't even know what that means, but okay. And then she was like feeling some Guns N' Roses or some shit, just started grinding. I don't know who Mr. Jamie Lee Curtis is, but
Mr. Jamie.
Yeah, like, you're winning. That's fine. Back in 94, you were winning. So yeah, God bless. And she does her little thing, and it was great. And then she fell, which was fucking hilarious. Yeah. Yeah. That look that Arnold Schwarzenegger had where he was just like, ugh. Yeah, that shit was genuine, yo. Yeah, and he was like, I often cheat on my wife. I would also cheat on her with you. So.
At one point, Jamie Lee Kidd. So originally the scene was supposed to be her completely nude, but in silhouette. And
that wouldn't have been as good.
And Jamie Lee Curtis said, nah, I've been working out. And you're going to see it.
Yeah.
So she was like, no, we can full light and I'll just wear my drawers.
That is fine. That is fine. Look, nudity is great, but it doesn't leave anything to the imagination.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, this doesn't leave much to the imagination either, but there's a little bit. So God bless. But yeah, when she fell, that shit was fucking hilarious. The first time I saw that, yeah, I burst out laughing. Because it's like, all right, this is a pretty sexy moment. And she was just like, yeet! Fucking busted her ass. So, yeah, it was good. Very good. So then he tells her, like, through a recording, you know, he's, like, giving her directions. And he's like, I need you to lay down on the bed. And, she's so nervous. Like, she's like, oh shit. This is just like that time I almost fucked that used car salesman. So he goes to like, he comes over to her, and goes to like put a rose on her and all this other stuff. And he goes to kiss her and she just picks up a phone and cracks his neck in the side of the head with it. Which is why cell phones are better to have around. Well, for dudes, I guess. And then she sees that it's Harry and he's like, Helen, like, I can explain. And then just as he's about to explain, a bunch of terrorists break in and just snatch their asses up. And we're off to act three. So, yeah, this was a good ending for the second act. So now, you know, we sort of get all of the they all know everything kind of situation.
Yeah.
Come to find out that Juno, played by Tia Carrera, she is, like we said, helping the terrorists in smuggling, now we find out, nuclear weapons through old Persian, like, huge artifacts. Which is a weird scene, because she's like, these things are absolutely priceless and everything else. But then they proceed to, like, rip the piece of the statue out so they can get these nuclear weapons that they hid inside there. But I'm like, but how did you put the nuclear weapons inside it? Like, it was already fucked up. You know what I mean? Like, is it open on the bottom? And you were just like, you set them over there and you were like, no, we don't want to lift it up. We'll just cut it on the side. I don't know. I was like, am I supposed to be impressed that you were willing to destroy it? You already destroyed it. Like, it's fine. And so they basically bring Harry there to identify that he's got that Crimson Jihad has this nuclear weapon. And so they do.
Yo, I'm sorry. I'm just reading a bunch of trivia. Jamie Lee Curtis won a Golden Globe for her role in this movie.
Really? I mean, she was good, but I don't know about award.
Because of that scene?
Best actress. Yo, the Hollywood Foreign Press is wild.
She looked mad good in them panties. Yeah. So didn't give it his fucking award. Like, what?
Like, she beat Sandra Bullock? like, if we're talking action movies, Sandra Bullock's role was like more
better in Speed.
Yeah.
Oh,
shit. Yeah, it was.
That's weird.
That shit is funny, man.
I guess. Sure, why not? And you said it comes on tonight?
Yeah, it comes on tonight. Tonight the 5th?
Yep.
Yeah, it comes on tonight. Shit, I might even watch it. I want to find out if Speed won this year.
See what Dolomite wins.
She beat out Gina Davis.
In what?
In Speechless, Shirley MacLaine in Guarding Tess, Emma Thompson in Junior, and Andy McDowell in Four Weddings and a Funeral. Jamie Lee Curtis.
And Four Weddings and a Funeral should have won that.
Yeah, yeah.
The rest of them aren't good for me. That's, yeah, I mean, her competition was not that stiff, in fairness.
Oh, shit.
So after Harry identifies the nuclear weapon to Aziz Ansari, he has to tell Helen the truth that he is in fact a spy, which he fucking punched him in the face.
Yeah,
which was pretty good, knocked his ass down. Then we see Abu Aziz.
I mean, it's completely unbelievable, but
yeah, no,
hey, come on, yo.
Yo, that one dude did a double drop kick on Arnold Schwarzenegger's back recently, and he didn't even fall down. And that nigga's 70 years old,
right?
So Abu Aziz starts recording a tape about, like, you know, you kill a lot of people from afar and you call us terrorists. We're going to rain down fire on one American city each week. And again, so the movie never lets it get too serious. Like, the cameraman is like, he starts shaking and sweating, and you see on the camera it's like low battery, and then the camera just shuts off. And the guy, like, lowers the camera battery. He's like, my battery. Like, oh, shit. And the guy's like, go get another one. And the guy's like, I think I have one in my truck. He's like, shut, moron. And he's just so annoyed. But, like, they just never allow it to get too serious, which is great.
Yeah, because you're talking about, you know, nuclear war.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. On an American, in American countries. So they're just like, we'll just play it for laughs. Then they take Helen and Harry into a room with some sort of torture doctor, and he gives Harry this injection that of this like whatever medication that makes you more pliable to tell the truth, and then Helen like asks him all these questions, and he's like, yeah, he's like, did you kill anybody? He's like, I did, but they were all bad. Which is a great line. It's just really well written line. And so you come to find out that Abu Aziz is going to detonate a nuclear weapon on the island that they're on to show that they do, in fact, have the capability to do so.
How far is that island from the mainland? Because
not that far.
I've never experienced nuclear fallout, but I got to imagine that a strong gust of wind would probably bring all that up on Florida.
Yeah. I feel like if you can see the mushroom cloud,
yeah,
you're way too close. They're like, just don't look at it. That's not enough to stop nuclear material from entering into my skin.
They used to drop nukes in Nevada, right?
Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah.
That's what they tested. Mm.
Yeah, all you right. Ever been in Nevada?
No. Ain't nothing there.
Look at the people that you know from Nevada. Just say.
Their hair is a bizarre red color.
Yeah, right. And they only have kids who look exactly like them. Nah, that's crazy. And he moved there. He ain't even from there.
That's weird.
Imagine if he grew up there. Crazy.
That's crazy. Like, they used to be like a mile away from the fucking, how far away when they drop fucking nuclear bombs?
I guess just like in the middle of fucking nowhere.
I guess they didn't know.
Hey.
No, they knew. They didn't give a fuck.
That's insane.
Yeah. Like, hey, what are you guys doing tomorrow? We're just dropping nukes.
Dropping nukes, no big deal.
No. You good? Just get inside of a refrigerator, Indiana. You'd be good. Then Arnold Schwarzenegger has a conversation with the mad doctor, and he's like, yeah, I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna grab you. I'm going to use you as a human shield. I'm going to break your neck, and I'm going to kill that guy over there. And he's like, oh, yeah, how are you going to do that? And he's like, my handcuffs? He's like, yeah. He's like, I picked them. So he proceeds to do exactly what he said. And then he kills a guy in a very commando style by having that guy walk into the room. He hits this nigga with a fucking crowbar in the chest. Ow.
And then cinches it.
Yeah, like, click, and then drags him through the room. Yo, come on, Arnold. God damn. That was great. Yeah, yo.
I was very disappointed that when Jamie Lee Curtis realizes, like, who he is, she was like, oh, I married Rambo. I was very disappointed that it wasn't, like, another Arnold reference. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, I married a commando. I married the Terminator.
Yeah, that would have worked. But I guess there's history with Last Action Hero of Arnold Schwarzenegger making reference to Stallone.
Yeah.
In movies, so I guess maybe that's the thing. But yeah, it would have been kind of great to just like have him do his own role. Like, yeah, you did. I do like that little moment where he's like, they're walking out of that building, and he goes to put his hand on the corner, but he's still woozy, and he misses. Like, and then he's like, fixes it. It's not even played for laughs. It's just like a slight realistic moment of like, yeah, he's this thing is still drugged up. Because he proceeds to get his fucking one shot on. And then he also has an Uzi because fuck it, why not? Flash forward, he just proceeds to just kick the shit out of everyone on the island. Just everybody's got to die. Jamie Curtis gets an Uzi at one point. She goes to fire it and she's just white womaning it up and drops the goddamn Uzi. And then proceeds to let it, like, shoot everybody by mistake.
That shit was funny. Even Arnold Schwarzenegger's look was like, oh, shit.
Arnold throws a grenade to start it off and then shoots out the lights like it's fucking Call of Duty or some shit. And, yeah, he sets a bunch of people on fire, which is great. Again, he never gets injured because he literally has no time to bleed. And so he's just murdering people just with no problem. Then he does something that's insane, which is he finds a gasoline truck, and then just starts firing. Cause I don't know about you, but I would imagine that the gasoline truck doesn't have a hose that fires gas, like high pressure straight, but not this gas truck. Of course it does. He uses it like teenage me with a bottle of hairspray and a lighter.
Right. Using the muzzle flash from his Uzi
yes.
to create a flamethrower from a gas truck. What the fuck?
Genius. Absolute genius.
Looks like fun, though.
Oh, yeah. I know, absolutely. It seems very fucking cool. Yeah, and he proceeds to hairspray the fuck out of everybody. It's great. And everybody gets caught on fire and or dies immediately. So God bless everyone. Then Abu Aziz pulls out a bazooka, shoots it at Arnold. He narrowly escapes. Abu Aziz literally does the Tiger Woods like, yes.
Yeah, that was kind of weird. Yeah. Like this guy who is trying to take himself very seriously has this like, super excited moment. Little kid moment.
Yeah. Arnold makes it away. He looks very Michael Jackson-esque as he's swimming under the water.
Michael Jackson?
Like, he's got, like, this, like, squinched face. It looks like he put tape at the top of his nose and everything. He pushes up.
That's ignorant.
That's ignorant. This is my son, Blanket. Like, no, it's not. That little baby's white. Maybe is very white. Juno finds Helen on the island, puts a gun to her head and grabs her off. And so then Harry has to go after them with his team. So then they're trying to get out of the Florida Keys because that's where this island was. And they're coming back from the Florida Keys on like this highway. And if you don't know the Florida Keys, I've never been, but I know there is one road.
The 7 mile bridge.
7 mile bridge, right? Yeah, you would know Florida better than I would. Like, just blow up the bridge and then you're done. You can't get from the Keys to the mainland.
They, while filming this film, they had to section off Seven Mile Bridge. And people were on it, and they had to film those scenes during the day. So people just had to wait. And they had Tia Carrera come out there and be like, hey, thanks. Here's some Pepsis and some bumper stickers that read, I was stopped on the 7 mile bridge by Omega Sector.
Yeah, that's not a deal. Like a
fuck you, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to eat Key Lime Pie down in the Keys.
Right. I'm trying to go home, yo.
He's stuck on his 7 mile bridge while y'all film a fucking movie.
First of all, like, even in the context of this movie, we ain't blowing up 7 mile bridge to save your wife, nigga. Like, we're going to find another way. We're not going to blow up 7 mile bridge to save your wife, who is in a thing that might have a nuclear bomb in it. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to risk setting off that nuclear bomb on the bridge.
I don't know. It's Florida.
God damn it. I got family down there now.
They don't live in the Keys. They be fine.
No, they don't.
I mean, they can't see the mushroom cloud, can they? Because then, yeah, then it's a problem.
That must have been a massive undertaking.
What's that?
Just like from an engineering standpoint.
Yeah, building that shit.
Oh, a 7 mile bridge? Yeah. That's fucking nuts.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I guess they just built all the pylons and then just like laid 7 miles of bridge on one day. Like, fuck it, let's just get it done. But yeah, so this sequence is actually pretty dope because you got like the terrorists, they're in one van, like there's multiple vans, and they're like firing at Harrier jets.
Why not?
Yeah, like at one point they're like, oh, here come the Harrier jets, and they come fucking scrambling past the helicopter, which is a pretty dope scene. And these terrorists are idiots because they go to shoot a bazooka or a rocket launcher at the Harrier jet, which, by the way, good luck on tracking that. That would be really a tough shot. They proceed to try that, and they have it the wrong way. And it ends up blowing the one guy right out the fucking front window of the van, and he just gets run over immediately and dies. But it was kind of cool because the rocket comes flying at the Harrier jet, and it just kind of bobs and weaves around it, which just looked fucking dope. I just remember seeing this in theater, and I was like, that scene just looked really cool. Like, it just, because you just don't see stuff like that. In 94, you didn't see action sequences quite to that caliber. But it was pretty cool. Then the Harrier jet proceeds to just fuck those vans up because they've got a lot of missiles and guns. So after dodging that missile, the Harrier jet pilot proceeds to just blow that van up. That was in front, and he was just like, yeah, you're fucking done. And they're like, oh, where's our friend? So, yeah, your friend's dead. Your friend's super dead. I love how he's like, yeah, just blow the bridge. And they're like, do we have authorization for that? And they're like, sure. I don't know. Fucking my wife's in there.
The U.S. government supplied 3 Marine Harriers and their pilots for a fee of, would you like to guess how much the government charged them? Would you like to do the total or the per hour rate?
Let's do total. Because how many hours did they have it?
I can do the math.
Well, if you give us the math, then we're going to figure it
no,
out.
I'm not going to give you the math.
Two Harrier jets?
Three. Do, divided by 41 hours.
Wow, 41 hours.
42 hours, so.
$3 million.
Five.
Total?
Yeah.
Five.
Total? $100,736.
That's not bad.
That's it. For $2,400 an hour.
To get a Harrier jet?
To get a Harrier, 3 Harrier jets and their pilots.
Yo, we could definitely, for a movie, you could definitely get a Harrier jet.
That's not bad at all.
It doesn't seem right. Look.
That is $94.
Right. It's $94 and it's IMDb trivia. So, right.
But, yo, I feel like I would have, I would fit a Harrier jet into my, into my story, yo. I want to see a Harrier jet dodge a missile just cause. Fuck that. We got the money. Like, let's do it. Yeah, buy more shirts. Like, we will get a Harrier jet in our movie. Yeah, we get a scene of Tia Carrera and Jamie Lee Curtis just fighting. And, like, nobody's boob popped out, which was such bullshit. They were so close. Yeah, just two women in tight dresses just choking the shit out of each other. It was crazy. And Tia Carrera, you need to just calm down. She put her feet in her face. I'd have been like, I lost. I lost. You got it. Yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis, she cracked her in the head twice with a fucking champagne bottle, dude. That was a level of disrespect I can appreciate. So she's in a runaway.
Shot the driver.
Yeah.
Shot Peter Jackson in the back of his head. Oh. That's fucked up.
Peter Jackson, goddamn. He was on his way to make Lord of the Rings. It's fucked up. So she's in a lone, limousine. Because again, like Terrence said, Peter Jackson's been killed and Tia Carrera just got her ass knocked the fuck out. And so she's hanging out of the top of the car. I'd have just jumped out the back. Like, you'd have gotten skinned up, but you would have been fine. You just survived that. That car's not going that fast. Well,
are you sure?
That car appears to be going faster than I thought.
She did that scene. She did that stunt.
On a helicopter? Are you serious?
Yeah. Jamie Lee Curtis performed the helicopter rescue scene herself.
Wow.
At her insistence, James Cameron agreed to let her perform this scary spectacle. According to Jamie Lee Curtis on the TV special promoting True Lies, it was Cameron's idea for her to do the helicopter work. She said, oh, yeah, and just where are you going to be while I'm dangling from way up there, Jim? And according to her, he said, hanging out the door, filming you with a handheld camera.
Damn. Like, oh. Yeah, put your money where your mouth is. Like.
Right. So she decided that if he was willing to do that to get the shot, she could stand to do it, too. Jamie Lee Curtis did the helicopter stunt on her 35th birthday, November 22nd, 1993.
Wow. All right. Like, wow. Yo, shout out to her. Because here's what I didn't hear in that whole thing. Arnold Schwarzenegger was the one hanging off the helicopter. Oh, hell no, he wasn't. No, he's like, yo, I'm not messing with the moneymaker, yo. No. He was like, I'll see you when I'll be at the craft services table. Yeah, nah, yo.
So like, that was her.
Yeah,
that's wild, man. I mean, I'm sure she's rigged up, obviously.
Probably, yeah. But yeah,
like, you can't just have her just hanging on Arnold Schwarzenegger's double. Yeah. But for her to do that as they're going over all that debris and shit like that, that's super wild. Like, that's a lot. I give her a lot of respect for that. Couldn't be me.
Yeah, I'd be like, nah, that's not what I get paid for. I ain't a stuntman.
I'd be like, yo, here's an idea. Make a CGI nigga.
much like a Baltimore City employee. That's not in my job description.
Yeah, I'm not. Absolutely not. But look, man, respect for her for doing it. That's dope. Couldn't be me. Then they just make out in front of a nuclear explosion because white people can do anything. This is an impossible white man movie.
Because metaphors, right? Like, the spark is back in their marriage in a big way.
Yeah, and it's going to kill marine life for thousands of years. Yo, Arnold Schwarzenegger, they didn't even give this nigga a t-shirt. His shirt is still torn up. Like, yo, y'all ain't got an Omega level t-shirt I could just toss on? Because, you know, I'll be in a Harrier jet. Might get a little cold up there. They're like, nah, we ain't got nothing for you. You good. And so they tell Harry that that Abu Aziz has taken his daughter Dana hostage. And he's like, Dana? My Dana? Oh! And he fucking runs. And he just steals a Harrier jet from a real ass pilot. He's like, yeah, hey guys, you guys are doing great. Yeah, get the fuck out of here. And so he just hops on. Nah, you're not gonna take my jet, my nigga. Like,
how does he know how to fly it?
He learned how to fly back in the day.
One of the tenets of being a good spy is that you are instantly capable of piloting any conveyance that you get in.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
That's what they teach you in Omega School.
In spy school? Omega spy school?
Yeah. Like, this ain't Alpha spy school, nigga. This is Omega spy school. Mm. He said he hasn't flown a Harrier jet in 10 years. When was he flying it 10 years ago?
He's only been a spy for 16 years.
You're right. Like, what are you doing, yo?
Like, you can learn how to fly a Harrier before you're vested in the company?
Yeah, he can't even get retirement. Gotta do 10 years for that. And then he has a very sloppy takeoff, I might add. But that's probably because he doesn't really know how to fly a Harrier jet. Or that it is on the cheapest rig James Cameron could find. But yeah, he eventually figures it out. Not before driving it on top of a police car. Because fuck the police, is what Arnold Schwarzenegger would say. And so, yeah, he just crushes a sheriff's vehicle. And then he's just like, all right, yeah, I think I got it now. Yeah, no, I'm good. And then he just proceeds to, you know, pack it in and then fly off to Miami or whatever. Then we see a moment where they're taping Abu Zassi's demands, and Dana grabs the key for the nuclear weapon, and she just bolts. She's like, yeet, and she's gone. She ends up on top of a crane, which probably isn't the best place to be. We cut back to the cameraman, played by Balki Bartakamus. He one-shots three terrorists. And even he's shocked that he can do it. He says, whoa.
Yeah, it's like, all that osmosis paid off.
Yeah, all this Omega level training. Turns out I'm a really crack shot. So Abu Aziz and who I can only describe as the Iron Sheik run up to the crane to get Dana. Abu Aziz goes after her directly, and they're trying to get her because they're trying to get the key. And Aziz does this really weird thing. He's like, no. Give me the key, child. Nothing will happen to you. I'm like, nigga, you're a terrorist. Like, why would I believe that?
You just said death to America, and you're going to blow everybody up.
Yeah, I'm going to rain fire on one major American city, but I won't hurt you. You seem cool. It's fine. He's like, you don't want to die, do you? Like, everything's fine. I'd be like, because I'm going to throw your ass off this crane. No, Dana should have just thrown the key.
Yeah.
Just throw the key. Yeah. Fuck him.
What you going to do?
Then what? I mean, he's going to try to kill you, but like he's going to try to kill your ass anyway.
Right.
Why are you putting it around your neck, dummy? Grab that shit and throw your little ass right off.
So I ask you, Jay, as a father of a daughter, is this response from Harry?
It's not strong enough. It's not strong enough. Yo, he blew up a whole floor with machine gun fire from a Harrier jet, my nigga. Like, that shit was insane. Just one floor, by the way. Floor above it, fine. Floor below it, fine.
Structural integrity of that building is amazing.
Yo, it would have just cracked under the weight. You can't do that. Also, I'm pretty sure everybody on a couple of floors would have been dead. Like, Harrier jets are amazing that they can hover, but yo, I don't think they work quite like that. Not just like perfectly still. It's not the bat plane.
Can we take a moment to just kind of realize where we are in this movie? There's Arnold Schwarzenegger in a Harrier jet.
Yes.
Looking for one dude and just destroying a building. Like, Arnold Schwarzenegger is in a Harrier jet in downtown Dade County.
Yo, look at Art Malik's face when he sees that it's a Harrier jet with fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yo, his face, he literally makes the meme face. He's like, look, he literally does the white guy meme face, right? Like, watch, when it cuts back to him, he's just like...
He does that blinking...
I like... Huh? He was like, the last time I saw you, my nigga, you was on a horse. Like, this, the last time I saw you, you were chasing me. We were jumping on roofs.
Right.
Horse and motorcycle. How the fuck did you get a jet?
Again, dad fantasy, right? He's got a button down with the fucking arms ripped off.
Because he's Soja.
Looking like Guile from Street Fighter jumped into that Harrier and is going to save his daughter from M. Bison. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Dad fantasy, yo.
It is. It is. Again, yo, the rig that this thing is on is hilarious. Look at this. Like, it just never stops moving. They just move the camera around it. It's just hilarious. It's like there's clearly like one pylon underneath this fake Harrier jet. Also, Arnold Schwarzenegger definitely killed those people on the edge of that one building as the helicopter was firing. No, everyone on that side of the building is dead. You can't just fire a Harrier jet into just civilian space.
We could just watch movies and not have to worry about civilian casualties.
But this is what I'm saying.
Made a big fucking deal.
Right. When people got mad at like Man of Steel, I'm like, yo, he's firing a Harrier jet into buildings, dude. How did he know that the terrorists were on like the 23rd floor? My
he didn't. Oh. He didn't.
He
just guessed. Fucking
he wasn't talking to fucking Aziz Ansari was in there. How do you know his boy wasn't out of the way? He was like, brrr, spray it down. That's his problem. That's not my problem. He didn't care.
I ain't give my daughter, yo.
Yeah. He didn't know she was hanging on the crane. How the fuck did he know that?
Hey, Dana's on a crane. It's on Bleecker Street and 3rd. Like, no, yo.
Come on, yo. She's this big. You want a Harrier jet? How did you find her? Fuck logic, yo. Abu Aziz is hanging on the back of this plane. And Arnold Schwarzenegger, to his credit, clearly watched the best fucking movie of all time, Temple of Doom. So he knew that all he had to do was get this little kid to hang on tight from a barrel roll and a fucking jet. And he just knew her little weak arms would be able to hold on. Meanwhile, there's cut glass everywhere.
2 seconds before, she's like, I'm gonna fall.
Yeah. My little weak arms. He's like, don't worry about all that.
I like how it is just implicit, right? Like, they don't even say anything. He's just...
Yeah, you got that. You saw... Like, maybe have, like, a scene where they're watching Temple of Doom.
Right.
You know, and be like, oh, that's a cool idea. And she'd be, like, Dana... Temple of Doom, and you'd be like, oh, I'm short round. I get it. Like, oh, shit. They even have a balls joke as Abu Aziz falls and hits his balls on the back of the fin of the plane. And just as he's running up to kill Dana and her father, which I don't know what his end game was here. If you shoot Arnold Schwarzenegger, y'all all going to die. Right. I guess he's like, fuck it. He's like, take this plane down. Be like, no. Like, yeah, like, do it now. And he's like, all right, yelling at me and shit. And he's like, all right, you good? And she's like, yeah, I'm good, I guess. And then he just rolls the plane. Yo, your daughter would have fell off, my nigga.
That's a barrel roll.
Yo, his daughter would have fell off.
She would have fell, yo. She would have fell.
Yo, just inertia alone. Like, would have like, yeet, boom. And he would have been trying to fucking fly down to catch her. And of course, Abu Aziz just happens to fall and get caught right on a rocket. And Arnold Schwarzenegger, in classic fashion, delivers the best version of You're Fired by... launching said rocket with a terrorist on it.
Which is essentially a dad joke.
Yeah. It is. It is. Jesus Christ. It really is. Does James Cameron have kids?
I don't know.
All right, hold on. Before we... So the rocket with Abu Aziz goes into... the helicopter full of other terrorists blowing them up, which is insane. All right, hold on. James Cameron, how old does James Cameron have kids? He's 65. He's got 4 children.
Yeah, he did this for them.
This was 94?
Yeah.
Damn, James Cameron's been... God damn, James Cameron's been married 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times? Nigga, calm down. I forgot... Damn, I forgot he was married to Linda Hamilton. That's crazy. He was like, yo, you looked really hot as a rail stick thin crazy person in Terminator. Do you want to get married? This was 94?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was on it. He was on a Single Man Days. That was between Catherine Bigelow and Linda Hamilton. Yeah, I need to find out how old James Cameron's kids are, because like he definitely had a kid who was like 12.
Yeah, he did this for them. Yeah, he did this for them.
Yeah. So after killing the terrorist, we cut to like, you know, 1 year later, where Boris and Doris are a team.
The family is at dinner time, as families are wont to do, thumb wrestling each other.
He looked like the scene in fucking Total Recall, or he's like, no. Yeah, that's not a thing. He's got a daughter, Josephine Archer Cameron, who is 26. So she'd have been too young. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, 26.
Yeah, she would have been like one.
Just born.
Yeah, she'd have been one.
So he couldn't have done it for her. I gotta find out.
Maybe he did. Maybe like this is because you know you have a new child and you dream about shit. Oh well, no, this came out 25 years later. So yeah, she wouldn't have been.
Nah, that's his oldest kid. It was for Josephine.
There you go.
There you go.
For himself.
Yeah, selfish.
He's like,
prick.
This is the kind of dad I'm gonna be.
Like, no. Yeah, you're gonna be the one making the movies. That's it. Like, I've seen James Cameron. He can't throw no punches. Like, knock it off, James. Knock it off. So now they're a spy team. And apparently, Jamie Lee Curtis, like, she can do the tango. Yeah, she's still got a great body. She looks great.
There was talk about a spinoff happening with Jamie Lee Curtis's character.
Nah, you don't need a spinoff. It should have just been the two of them.
It should have been a sequel. Yeah. It should have been a sequel.
How did this not get a sequel?
I don't know. How much money did it make? Plus, you know, James Cameron, like he's very like, he's a very weird artist.
It made like $389 million. On a $100 to $120 million budget, it made almost $380 million.
Yeah, he's a very weird dude. So.
Yeah, I would have done a sequel. There is talk that Disney Plus is going to do a series
of this.
Yeah, a true life series. I mean, the thing is, it's a four quadrant movie.
It absolutely is. The second half, the second act of this movie is a weird like romantic comedy.
Yeah, I think you could. Pulled off correctly. I don't know, man. I think a true life series could totally work.
Yeah, why not?
It doesn't require any adult anything.
No.
Who cares? Like, yeah, we're bad guys. All right, just stop the bad guys.
Yeah.
Like an action comedy? 100%. I would absolutely watch that. But that's the talk, is that Disney is thinking about doing that. So, I'm cool with that. All right, the last bit is Tom Arnold saying, hey, I'm tired of being in the van for the last 15 years. You guys get to be in the van the next time. It's like, nah, you ugly.
Yeah, that's why there's no next time.
Yeah. They were like, we would rather not make a movie than to have Tom Arnold not in the van. Any parting words before we get out of here, guys?
No, this is good. This is a good movie. Quite frankly, we can do every Arnold Schwarzenegger movie on this particular show, and I would be fine with it.
Yeah, right up until the sixth day.
I wouldn't even mind doing the sixth day. Fuck it. Let's do it.
Yeah. Well, we have another show called We Watch Trash. Terrence, any parting words?
Nope.
All right. That's it for us, guys. We will see you next time for another episode of No Time to Bleed.
See ya.
Take it easy.
Bye.
Some motherfuckers are always trying to ice skate uphill.